Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello and welcome to Audiovisual Cultures Podcast. I am your host, Paula Belair. Today, I have the great pleasure of speaking with Bethany Stead about practicing across different media, exploring issues and themes around gender, sex, class, mythology, folklore, bodies, and awkwardness, and what it's like being a member of Newbridge and the wider arts community in Newcastle. I think Bethany is an example of a thoughtful and emotionally intelligent early career artist, and I'm sure you'll get a lot out of our conversation. This interview was originally recorded back in January for the Slacks Radio Residency at the Newbridge Project in Newcastle upon Tyne. Newbridge is an artist-led community established in 2010 that supports the development of creative practitioners of many kinds through the provision of space, exhibitions and events. They particularly encourage collaborative ways of working and community involvement. As we'll hear, Bethany is one of their more recent members and is getting established in her practice. A massive thank you to our patrons over at patreon.com/AVCultures. If you're interested in hearing the original broadcasts of these three past episodes, including caption-enabled video versions, join us at the Buy P&T tier for £2.50 a month or equivalent wherever you are. Many thanks as well to all our listeners and to those of you sharing episodes on social media. It's a great help and really appreciated. Please do also give us a good rating wherever you're listening, as this helps others find the show. And if you write some nice feedback, your testimonial might just get featured on our website, which is much improved thanks to funding from our patrons. For now, enjoy this chat with Bethany Stead. Bethany Stead, thank you so much for joining me. I've been really enjoying learning about your work recently, and I really appreciate you speaking to me for the Slacks Radio Residency at Newbridge.
Oh, no worries. Thank you. It's lovely to be invited and lovely to meet you as
Good. So, Bethany, in what ways do you tend to describe your practice as an artist?
That's probably the one thing that I struggle the most with, which I think a lot of artists struggle with, is to describe their practice. Yeah, I always have a description on my website, but it's always a work in progress because it changes all the time. Mm-hmm. So I would probably say it's multifaceted, as a lot of other artists say, which in my case kind of stands for it's a bit all over the place. I've definitely got a scatterbrain, but in an organized way, if that is possible. I dip my foot in a lot of different areas, or I try to when I get the time. I would mainly say that I work in sculpture and ceramics. My mediums span across all sorts of different ones, though, such as drawing, painting, woodwork and textiles. I class myself as a working class queer artist, and I'm really interested in craft and folk art and looking at these underrepresented skills and this work that's overlooked, and exploring the class, sex and gender of the people who engage in these practices. Yeah, so trying to highlight that by using these skills myself, or trying to learn them quite often. Yeah, one part of my practice is most of the work that I create is inspired by surrealism, mainly because of the world-building aspect of that and the escapism to enter another world that's solely your own or can be for others too. So I think, yeah, that's why I'm really inspired by surrealism. And also I explore a little bit of animism, anthropomorphism, looking at the symbols in that and trying to highlight the importance of storytelling and symbolism. I'm really interested in intergenerational storytelling, so passed on from different generations down to my generation, down to the younger generations, and how really important I think that is, and the writing of those stories, and for us to write stories and share them as a form of therapy. Mm-hmm. And then I suppose to close all that off, all of these different interests, there's so many more, but has brought me to work with people in general. So I'm a facilitator, but also, as most other artists do as well, I have to work a different job that's slightly unrelated, but I try and make it as relatable as possible. So I work with people in my day job, running groups and activities for visually impaired people. And then I work on a freelance basis as a facilitator with community groups, underrepresented peoples. And I like to do this to contribute towards accessibility, opportunities, mutual aid, and radical spaces.
That's brilliant. That's really wonderful. Very detailed. Yes, I've been enjoying browsing through your website and a lot of your work, I think particularly your sculptural work, but I think across all of it, it feels very tactile. I can feel the traces of you there, the markings, scorings, and the craftspersonship that goes into a lot of it feels very tactile. So I take it you enjoy that physicality of working with the actual materials in your hands, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, a lot of it is about the process sometimes and the people that I meet through that process and communal making as well. So I really enjoy just the act of making a lot of the time, and it doesn't always have to result in something beautiful at the end of it. But yeah, definitely the tactility and touch, especially with clay and sculpture in general. I think that's why I lean more towards sculpture, is because I like to be able to touch things. I like to be able to feel it within my presence, rather than 2D based works just don't feel as present for me anyway.
I think what I've been particularly struck by is a lot of your work where you're combining a body part with a vessel of some kind. I think as a woman and as somebody who identifies as a woman, you know, that is a really striking type of image and it's very loaded. Is that the sort of area that you're trying to poke at a bit and explore?
Yeah, for sure. So like the body as a vessel, the body to carry things, carry a lot of weight, carry liquids, carry anything. But I'm also really interested in the ancient use of these kind of vessels and this kind of way of, like, this sort of decorative vessel that uses body parts has been long being used before. I find that really interesting. I think a lot of the time it would be towards gods, and I like to celebrate gods that I think people might have worshipped and etc. Yeah, so I definitely do lean towards those kinds of politics with the vessels, I suppose.
Cool. What would you say you've been working on quite recently? And by recent, I think we can be quite flexible about whether that means weekly or monthly or the past few years. Is there anything particular you've been working on, and do you have anything coming up? I know, again, that's very tricky because the ground is constantly shifting under us at the beginning of 2022. But yeah, so what sort of stuff are you doing lately?
Yeah, so I just got over batch making so many ceramics. So I'm starting to teach myself to make more functional wear, functional pieces that people can buy, because I've got to find a way to make money from my art in some way. And as much as I hate to commercialize, I think that's the only way you've got to go sometimes. Not the only way, but one of the quickest ways. So yeah, I've been learning that and learning a lot from that. So I've been making a lot of functional pieces because I had a market stall in the Usburn market. And that was really interesting because that was the first time I'd entered that realm of craft art market. And before, I was purely just making work with the idea to exhibit in a gallery and hopefully maybe someone would want to buy them. But I didn't really care about that aspect of it. So it was really different to enter that kind of realm. And it was nice, but also made me realise I do want to try and keep those separate in some way. So that's what I've been working on. I took part in the Now That's What I Call Art exhibition by System Gallery and Spaghetti Factory. And that was amazing. That was really fun. It was nice to be a part of something so big and such an amazing idea. I don't think I've ever actually heard of an open call. I don't know. Did you hear of it?
I did. I saw a lot of posts on Instagram. Zara Worth was in that as well. And I've known her for a while.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it was nice to see like lots of different artists from different backgrounds coming together and from the Northeast as well. Yeah, so I took part in that. And then I'm just looking on my Instagram to try and remember what I've been doing recently, because that's the main place people put things nowadays. Oh, yeah. So other than that, that's slightly different to the things that I create is I've also been working for Curious Arts, an arts charity, as a youth group facilitator. So we've been making art together with our youth group, and that's been really nice, and I'm learning a lot from that. So they're some of the things that I've been working on recently.
Cool. Would you say there's anything that you've maybe particularly learned through your membership at New Bridge? You know, how much does the studio and project space factor into your work? Or have you had any experiences that you think are notable or have been useful for you?
The studio has been amazing. I think it would be hard to say that having a studio wouldn't be helpful for any artist, I suppose. And the collective studio program is brilliant. But I generally had not an amazing experience on that, but that wasn't to do with Newbridge. That was because of COVID and because we couldn't meet and it couldn't really be a collective, which was sad. But the most amazing thing that Newbridge are doing now is still letting us be involved in the opportunities that are happening on the current collective studio, which is great. And it's really good of them. And I think one of the best things that I've got of being a part of Newbridge is the support system and the support network. And I feel with the staff and the artists that are there, I can always contact them and look to them as an early career artist, as a mentor. So I can contact people for advice, not officially saying that they would be my mentor, but everyone seems so open to passing on information and advice and helping as much as they possibly can without putting themselves out. And yeah, so I think that's one of my favourite things about Newbridge is the sense of support and community. And, you know, they're just always willing to give as much as they can, even sometimes in their own time when, you know, they're not being paid for it. So I think that's a really, really nice thing about Newbridge. Yeah, and then also just having a hub to see other people. Like when I didn't have a studio before, and it was also lockdown, so I wouldn't be seeing people, but I wouldn't have gone out of my way to see other artists and meet with other artists. But now it's so nice to just walk into the building and see everyone and say hello. And yeah, so it's a beautiful hub to be in. It's really nice.
Great. Have you been involved with Newbridge for a while then? Roughly how long have you been a member there?
Yeah, I started the collective studio in 2019 or maybe 2020. I think I've been there for about 2 years.
Okay.
And I think it got extended a little bit because of COVID. And I've only just started to feel like I can actually be a part of Newbridge and a part of the community because of working. I was working full time after graduating. I graduated in 2019. And I think most artists go through that where they, you know, you have to get a normal life job and most people don't have time to make art for quite a while. So I've only just started feeling like I can be a part of the community, and it's a really lovely feeling. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been with them for that long. And then I've known of them since I studied there because they have good connections with the Newcastle University where I studied. Mm-hmm. So
great. Do you have any thoughts on the arts, probably more generally in Newcastle or the Northeast, that you'd be happy to share? I'm just thinking about what maybe for you is, it's a bit of an awkward term, but as an emerging artist, I suppose, or early career artist, what are the big challenges? I think you've mentioned some there about just existing, just being alive is one for a start, never mind the COVID situation, but the sort of challenges that you might face. But also, are there any benefits to it? And what's the climate like for you at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. I've got a couple. Probably one of the first things that comes to my head is obviously like the lack of opportunities in the creative sector in the Northeast, especially jobs wise. Maybe not so much arts opportunities, but still that as well. There's a little bit of a lack of that. And that can be difficult because there's often this horrible competitiveness with your circle of friends. If you are friends with lots of artists, that you have to be put up against each other all the time in this, also this horrible capitalistic way of looking at things and our capitalistic way of life. We're pitted up against each other, and that can be really difficult at times. And it almost feels like more here than if I was somewhere else, such as a bigger city like London or Manchester, just because there's way less opportunities. So I'm going to know at least 5 or 6 people who are going for the same job or the same opportunity as me. And I hate that. I hate that we have to and it makes it difficult to talk about. But we should talk about it, I feel. It's mm-hmm. something that we should address. So yeah, that's one of the difficult things I think about being an artist here. But then that's kind of counteracted with, we have such a beautiful, tight-knit, small art community. And I wouldn't change that, because it's so nice to just know everyone. And I also feel like it's very open as well. Although we have to compete with each other for things, it doesn't have to feel competitive. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people are very open to letting anyone in, you know. I think Newcastle and the art scene here are dedicated to being accessible mm-hmm. and seem to always be trying, especially in the spaces that I enter, such as Newbridge and other similar organisations. The charity that I work for, Curious Arts. But yeah, that's kind of counteracted with that nice point. Would be kind of nice if things could be more integrated, like a less of a separation between people who are fine artists and people who are working performing arts and people who work in theatres and people who work in music. It would be nice if there could be more collaborative projects somehow. But anyway, you need funding for that kind of stuff, and there's not much up here. So.
That's great. I think just picking up on your last point about collaboration across different practices, different media, different ways of working, that's very much what Audiovisual Cultures Podcast is all about, is those slippages and convergences across those things. So it's really great to hear a young artist like yourself talking like that. You know, it's really encouraging. And I suppose that's a bit of a call to arms to everybody who might be hearing this, is we need to fix that. You know, we need to close that gap up and be able to facilitate those sorts of collaborations happening more. And I think, as you pointed towards there, it probably begins with having the awkward conversations of, right, well, we want to do this, so how can we force this into being? How can we make this happen? How can we make funding bodies take a bit more notice of that? Mm-hmm. I was speaking earlier today with Paul and Chris, who are the directors at Vane. A lot of our conversation, it was really them lamenting the loss of Orbis at Commercial Union House, because they had a building that was full of that kind of thing, and it's gone mm-hmm. now. And what Orbis is becoming in its new guise at Gateshead is much diminished from what it was. So it's, how do we rebuild in the arts? But it feels like a battle as well.
Yeah, that's scary. That's a scary thing that's happened, I suppose, this year, which I guess I haven't related to so much, because I feel very lucky to have been able to get a studio in Newbridge, but lots of other people are waiting because they've had their studios just, you know, ripped away from them in the centre of town as well. And it's Commercial Union House, and then also Breeze as well has gone right around the corner, and that's really sad. And I'm not entirely sure what they've gone to, but isn't it just like offices and new city development? Is that what they've gone to?
As far as I'm aware, and they haven't really started to publicise anything yet, because the building as it is at the moment isn't actually workable. They're nowhere close to being able to open it to the public yet. So everything's at a state of flux and becoming. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, it's quite strange, and it's difficult, and it's sad. And maybe there's opportunity there, but I feel like we need to give everybody a shake and go, come on, we have to fight for this. This is worth fighting for.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. The city is changing and has changed so much since I've lived here. I've lived here for 6 years and I've already seen it. It's just becoming definitely way more commercial, and it's about consume, you know, be in the city centre and shop and consume mm-hmm. and buy and eat and stay for longer with all of this fancy furniture that they're putting on the different streets in Newcastle. And I feel like they're not tapping into their already great creative scene mm-hmm. that they've got here, that they could be tapping into more, because they don't really see probably pound signs in that, I suppose. I don't know. It's a sad loss, and feel very lucky to be able to have a studio, and sorry for the people that can't have one at the moment, and hope that people can still keep creating in any way that they find possible.
Mm-hmm. Beth, where can listeners find out more about your work? We've been mentioning your website. Would you be happy to just say that out for people?
Yeah, my website's just www.bethanystead.com. I mean, I'm not the best at updating it. I'm still getting to grips with all of that side of things. And yeah, so it might not be updated very often. And mainly you can find most of my things on Instagram. Mm-hmm. That is just @BethStead and then an underline. So I probably update that the most. I find Instagram, tiring, fatiguing, but it almost feels necessary.
Yes, it can be quite a slog. You have to be your own marketer as well. It's like you're saying, it's part of the current economy, the freelancer economy. I have similar with the podcasts and the other work that I do. Constantly promoting yourself is quite fatiguing.
Yeah, and it feels gross as well. I don't know about you, but I just feel gross doing. Yeah, for anyone who follows me on Instagram, I want people to know that I don't particularly love the self-promotion, but like having the Instagram in the first place, it feels necessary sometimes.
Yeah.
Just to get yourself known. It's not amazing for mental health.
No.
But also, actually, I was just going to mention on mental health, shout out if people were wanting help with mental health as artists. I know that the Social Art Network are offering a lot of free mental health art workshops for artists. So lots of mindfulness, etc.
Oh, that's a brilliant thing.
That's also something that would be worth talking about as well, is a group that I'm part of. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, the Social Art Network.
I think I've heard roughly about it recently, but I don't know very much, so please feel free to expand on that.
Okay. So it's a network of artists that work with people socially, have a socially engaged practice, work with communities. And myself and another artist, Sophia Barton, they're an amazing illustrator. You should check them out. Yeah, they have wonderful work. We are going to be organising a Zoom meeting for absolutely anyone who's interested. We're probably going to advertise it through Instagram, probably Newbridge, emails, all over the place, hopefully. And it'll just be for people who want to come along and hear about the organisation. They often have a lot of cool different projects going that you can get funding for, or you can write to them and create your own projects with them. Yeah, so we're going to do a Zoom meeting first, and then we're going to do an in-person meeting, but that's going to come later. So yeah, that's for anyone who wants to listen about being a social artist, whether they are one or whether they would like to be one, and kind of share our agonies of that, because it can be sometimes difficult being a freelance facilitator or freelance social artist and not knowing who to turn to when you come to a difficult situation. Participants could be telling you information, confidential information, and you don't know how to deal with that. So it's good to have that support network of artists, people who've been in the field for a longer time and know what to do about that, and can offer maybe some younger social artists advice.
Yeah,
I'll be sharing that through Newbridge and Instagram.
Wonderful. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you for adding that. Yeah, again, very important issues there. I'm very interested in where art practice intersects with activism as well. So I think those sorts of areas are really important, again, to talk more about and to take seriously and to get support for. So yeah, I really appreciate you adding that in. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, no worries. It's fine.
Beth, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you're quite keen to put out there, or that you think would be useful for people to know?
I don't know if you would want to put this in, but maybe that, sorry if I sounded awkward, but also a massive part of my practice and exploration is about awkwardness as well, and trying to become comfortable in that. I think it would help people a lot if we could all just become comfortable with our own awkwardness and uncomfortability. Yeah, so that's just like an aspect of my practice that I didn't really highlight, I suppose. And a lot of the physical works that I make are about my dealings with that feeling of uncomfortability inside my own body and amongst other bodies, and how to deal with that feeling and how to just let it settle and be a part of us, because it is a part of human nature. Nothing really runs smoothly. Just the society we live in makes us feel like it does.
I love that. I love that, really putting a spotlight on awkwardness, but not in a way to shame, but to perhaps celebrate and be honest, because I think you're absolutely right. And I think people feel more awkward more often than they like to admit to. And I think those of us who feel very awkward, particularly in social situations, it should be okay to feel like that.
Yeah, it's probably become a lot more of us that feel like that after the past 2 years as well.
Absolutely. I think those of us who are introverts and who spent many years working up to passing as normals in society. Well, we've now just gone back into our caves, and it's quite difficult to emerge from that when you've just got over yourself enough to get out there and then you haven't been able to get out there. It is quite difficult to, and so much of my life has been on screens for 2 years, and then yeah. Even just going to the shop, it's, oh, someone's talking to me, what do I do?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think it's good to just try and be at ease with those horrible, uncomfortable feelings and just take them as part of life and try and turn them into good things.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate what you said as well about awkwardness with bodies and your own and other bodies. I'm really looking forward to seeing how you develop on that, because, you know, I feel like there's, for anyone who's paying attention, there is more and more out there about body shaming and how to overcome that sort of thing. But this is a bit different. This isn't, you know, the full scale thing. It's not as strong as that, because being awkward, it's something that you can pretend not to be, but feel very deeply inside. Yeah, I think there's a lot there to really explore and pick apart. So I'm really keen to see what all you work on to do with that.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Bethany said, thank you so very much for your time. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I feel like we've been talking for a relatively short time, but we've said a lot. So thank you for that. It's really wonderful. And I'd like to wish you a really great rest of your day.
Great. Thank you very much. And you too. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. It was really nice. This is actually the first time I've done this, probably since university when I was forced to do it in a presentation. So yeah, it's nice. It's a good experience for me to expand on my practice. And yeah, thank you.
Great. Well, you're very welcome on Audiovisual Cultures podcast anytime.
Oh, thank you.
My great thanks there again to Bethany. I'm really looking forward to seeing her work develop. I'm particularly struck by her vessel sculptures. It really reminded me of the interest I had in this a few years ago when I was writer in residence at Yorkshire Sculpture International. Learning more about vessels in the context of sculpture was quite a big part of that residency for me. So it was really interesting to speak to Bethany about that and get a reminder of so many of the issues that arise when we think about vessels in conjunction with female bodies. Please do follow Bethany. She's got a really great Instagram. Because this was quite a short conversation again, and it was perfect for the short form type of broadcast that we were doing. But because it's quite short for the podcast, not that it really has a, it doesn't really have a set duration, which is a lovely thing about podcasting, but because it is a bit short, I thought I'd just take the opportunity at the end to just chat to you about some stuff. So if you're not really interested, then you can skip on. But if you are, I'd really love it if you'd stick around. I wanted to talk to you in a bit more detail about our newsletter, because every month I put together a free newsletter that looks back on that month in the podcast. So I release it on the last day of every month, and it looks back at what has been happening with the podcast that month, and if there's anything else I have worked on or had published or done that is worth sharing. But I also make podcast recommendations every month, and I'm very happy and keen to get recommendations from other people. I'd love it if you could sign up to the mailing list. It means that you also get new episode notifications and all the links. You'll get direct links to the transcript and the audiogram as well as the episode. You know, it's an easy thing then if you felt like you could maybe forward it as it is onto somebody who you think would really enjoy it. But also you can write directly back to me and let me know what you think. I've started to put testimonies on the front page of our website because, you know, if I do say so myself, I think I do make a decent wee show, and it'd be lovely if we could get more people listening. Our Instagram followers keep creeping up, and I've been really enjoying this. It's been really nice to see some organic growth. I get bombarded by those influencer type people who promise you thousands and thousands of new followers and promise that they'll be organic, and it's just a load of bots and nonsense, and they're just trying to extort money out of you, and it's money I don't have, frankly. Any money I do get in from patrons, it is put into the podcast in some way, and the priorities really have been recording equipment to improve the sound quality, and I have been gradually doing that. If you go back and listen to earlier episodes and compare them with what I've been doing recently, especially in the past few months, because I've got a decent microphone now and I've discovered Zencastr, which has been brilliant. So even the people I interview, you know, because a lot of these last few interviews that we've had, these are people who were just talking at their laptop. You know, a lot of them weren't wearing headphones, and it's far better quality than what I was getting from Zoom. And Zoom has been amazing. I mean, I think a lot of us can agree that it's been a bit of a lifesaver for the past 2 years, but you know, there's a lot to develop there. And I mean, these are free technologies, so I don't really feel like I can complain about anything. But my computer had been having issues with Zoom for quite a while, and Zencastr has been really wonderful and much easier to work with when I get the files, and it automatically... This has just become an advert for Zencastr now. I wasn't really intending to talk about it, but it is really good, and I really recommend it if you are recording any audio, even if you're recording video actually. There are no videos of these three recordings, these Slacks recordings that I'd made. So with Paul and Chris Van Veen, with Dick and with Bethany, I didn't record video for those. It was just the audio. So there's no videos for those. But mostly when I have a podcast recording that I've done online, and usually my guests are fine with me recording video as well, our behind the scenes patrons get access to those videos. It's exclusive access, and I don't cut them. I just... Now the way I do it is, because it used to just be the Zoom video recorded anyway and I would just stick that on. But with Zencastr, it records them separately. So I just put them side by side in a video editor and render it that way. And so you get the full conversation with both sides, and that's it. You know, so you can watch those if you join it behind the scenes. And that's £5 a month or equivalent on Patreon. But I was talking about the newsletter, so I went off on another ramble there. The things that I script have a bit more flow, because when I talk, I just natter on about stuff. But anyway, so the newsletter, I'd really love it if you'd join up. I don't have a huge list of people on the mailing list, and probably most of those are going into junk mail, because it's one of those things where it's a Gmail account, so it's not official, so it probably end up in your junk mail. So you have to remember to look in your junk mail and make sure you add audiovisualcultures@gmail.com to your safe senders. I mean, hopefully I've sorted that out now for anybody who signs up now. It's not just me talking about the show, and I do give you a bit of a sneak peek in what's coming up in the following month. So this is coming out in April, and if you go to our homepage, audiovisualcultures.com, there's a link on the homepage and there's a link on the contact page. So, you know, it's dead easy to sign up. It's just asking for your email address. I don't want any of your data. If you do that, so for example, this comes out in April, and the last day of April, you'll get a newsletter that goes back over what's happened in April, but also you'll get a sneak peek in what's coming out in May before anybody else. You might be aware that I make stuff and I sell it on Etsy, so there's a discount code that you can access through this email as well if you're interested. There's links to other stuff that I work on, but I'm also very happy to feature what other people have done, and I'm very happy to feature what my patrons have been up to as well. I have a section where I link to my blog, but at the time of recording this ramble, I haven't been writing very much on my blog because I've been buried in audio editing and working on job applications, so I haven't really had much headspace to write anything for my blog. And I've also been trying to work towards writing for publication as well, so the blog has fallen by the wayside again. So it'd be great if you signed up for that. And I do recommend other podcasts. I have a section where I recommend a podcast, something that I've been listening to. And I mean, I can't listen to all of them. So, you know, I'm very happy for you to get back in touch. You can reply directly to that email. Tell me about something you've been listening to. And if you're happy for me to share that, then you can have that corner of the newsletter. The next time, I'd love it to be more collaborative. And, you know, if you find a blog that you're getting a lot out of, then share that with me as well. Or if there's an online resource or there's a YouTube channel, anything like that at all, I'm very happy to share as well what you've been listening to or reading and so on and so forth. Book recommendations might even be something we start doing. Very, very open to feedback as well, because I've just put this together thinking, what can I tell you about? And I don't know if it's landing or not, because nobody ever tells me. So if you've got any suggestions, I'm really happy to hear from you about them. Yeah, and I'm very happy to hear suggestions about what guests we can have on the podcast or what topics we can do. I'm really hoping that Andrew can come back again at some point. He's on research leave this semester, so hopefully he'll have a bit more time. We can do some of our old-fashioned let's watch a movie and talk about it type episodes. That'll be fun. Even some of my previous guests, I'd love to really do that sort of thing with them too. And also, if you're listening and you make a podcast and you'd be happy for me to guest on it in some capacity, I'm really open to seeing that too. I'm really keen to talk to other people as well and build more of a podcasting community. So I think the other thing I'd love to mention, I mentioned it at the start as well, but I upgraded the podcast website, audiovisualcultures.com. Still very excited about that. It's really starting to take shape. Again, at the time of recording, I haven't changed it a huge amount, but I have made bits of it prettier, I think anyway, and hopefully just starting to make it look a bit more professional, because there's just more I can do now with the upgrade. I suppose I wanted to point out as well that I do offer transcripts. They're not perfect. They're the automated transcripts that I get from Acast, who host the podcast. And those transcripts are not public, so I have to request the transcript from Acast. Then they give it to me in my little studio area of the podcast uploading bit. Then I have to download it and copy it into a blog post. And I have at times copied them into YouTube videos as well, because there was a problem there a while ago. It seems to have cleared up now, but there was a problem with the YouTube automatically making the auto captions in Vietnamese or Korean or Indonesian or something like that. It's a really strange phenomenon, which seems to have calmed down again. So that has been useful, but they are far from perfect. The things they do with even just me saying my name is quite interesting. I think you can get the gist from them. To be honest, I don't have the time really to go through them. It takes hours. There are two episodes, the Tamasha episode and the Community COVID episode. Those two transcripts, I did edit them properly. And that took, certainly with the Tamasha one, because that was a long session with three people talking. That was a long process that took several days to edit. I don't get paid for this work, so I can't give several days. I already do that with editing the audio, because I am very particular about editing the audio for these. I have sound sensitivity issues, and so I like nice clean audio. I like cleaning it up as much as possible. I like closing up the gaps, because yes, it takes me days maybe to get through it, but I don't think it should take people days to listen to it, so I like it to be as tight as possible. There's not really a huge amount of extra time I'm willing to give this, because although I have patrons, I don't have a lot of them. I appreciate what I have, but I'm hardly making a living. I mean, I'm hardly even making pocket money at this stage. What the website upgrade has afforded me is I can now take payments on the website directly. And what I've done is I've set up several ways where you can very quickly just drop me a pound or a fiver or whatever you want to do via PayPal or a card payment. If you just want to throw something in the tip jar to go towards general support for the podcast, because that does accumulate. It'll help me pay for the website, pay for the domain and that sort of thing. But I've also made one where you can make a £5 monthly payment that is specifically towards transcripts. And the idea of that is for every £5 a month I get via that, I will spend 30 minutes tidying up a transcript. But also for a subscriber, you'll get early access to the transcript, so you'll be able to read through the transcript before the episode comes out publicly. So you'll get early access, plus I will spend 30 minutes for every £5, you know, editing a transcript so that it reads properly and you can see what how things are supposed to be spelled and maybe put a few hyperlinks in, you know, that sort of stuff. So that would be a specific fund just to do that, because I'll do it if I'm getting paid to do it, but I cannot give any more free time to this really. So I guess that's where we're at with things, and I really just wanted to point those things out. It's a really tough climate out there for everybody, and I think especially in the UK at the moment, we're being hit hard financially across a lot of different areas. Food prices have really gone up. Fuel prices in Britain have skyrocketed. We're not in a great way at the moment. So I completely appreciate that it's really tough for people to pay for things, you know, and we've all got so many charities vying for our money. It's overwhelming. I do get that as well. And nobody asked me to do this. I'm doing this off my own bat, so I am aware of that too. My circumstances mean that I am job hunting. I can't sustain this for much longer. I wish I could make this podcast my job. I wish I could make it weekly and that it could be my job and I'd earn enough to make a small living from it, or at least enough that I could supplement it with other income. It always was a project that just has no end point. It'll just be what it is until I can't make it anymore. I suppose that's just where we're at with things at the time of recording, and I'm recording this in February, so things may have changed drastically in the 2 months between recording this and the episode coming out. And also people feel that free things on the internet should be free, and I feel like that too. I suppose to get a little bit political here, I think my ideal would be some sort of basic universal income that wasn't like, you know, in the UK, if you're listening elsewhere, we have universal credit here, which replaced job seekers allowance. It collapsed a lot of different benefits, including unemployment benefit, into one. It's notoriously difficult to apply for. It's really not enough to live off. And just like JSA, you have to apply for every job on earth before they'll give you any money. And so it's very difficult to try stuff out and be a creative and find your way, be a startup, you know, all those kinds of things when there's not really any traditional funding avenues for you. And when I initially started this 4 years ago, I had some money because I had a really terrible time in a workplace. It deeply affected my health. I had to resign and I was given quite a substantial payout from that. And so when I started this podcast, I had quite a bit of money in savings from that. That's all gone, and I am freeloading off my partner, who is miserable in his job and would like to try something new now. And yeah, it's just very difficult to take the leap when the ground's constantly shifting underneath you and you don't know where you're gonna land. And I think a couple of generations ago, it was maybe a bit easier to take that kind of leap because you could just pick up a job again. That is not the climate we're in now. It is quite scary. You know, I'm feeling very risk averse. I suppose that's the backdrop to what's going on with me at the moment, and I don't know what's really in store. So on that happy note, I'm going to stop blathering at you. Yeah, I just really appreciate you listening. Thanks if you made it to the end of this. Hope it wasn't too boring. Please do check out some of that stuff. Check out Bethany's work. Check out audiovisualcultures.com. Check out patreon.com/AVcultures. Mind yourselves, take care, and I'll catch you next time. Thank Thank you for tuning in to this Cozy Pea Pod production. If you got something out of this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could give us a good rating wherever you're accessing it and share it with someone you know will find it really interesting. If early releases and bonus content sound appealing, visit patreon.com/AVcultures and join one of our support tiers. If you want to help the show but can't manage a membership, we'd love you to join the conversation with AV Cultures Pod on Instagram, Facebook or Twitter. The music is Common Ground by Airtone, used under a 3.0 Creative Commons non-commercial license and is available at ccmixer.org. I've been Paula Blair, and you've been a fantastic audience. Mind yourselves, until next time.